Exodus 16 and verse 15. Exodus 16, 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna." For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the thing, this is the bread, which the Lord hath given to you to eat." Verse 16, "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Means there was plenty for everybody. They gathered every man according to his eating. Moses gave him a warning in verse 19. "Let no man leave it till the morning." Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. They didn't listen. But some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was very wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. The manna came as the dew in the morning before the sun came. And when the sun came, it was gone. They had an opportunity to gather it. And after that opportunity was over, there was no more to gather till the next day. By way of introduction, I want you to go back with me in your mind to the days before Golden Corral. There might have been a bonanza around. That was what they were called back then when I was growing up. They're Ponderosas now. Very few of them left. But in Willisburg, and you all know and you all will shout when I tell you and mention it, the building still stands, but it's no longer, the restaurant is no longer there. But right behind the Sunoco station now, where Arby's is, there was a wonderful eating establishment there. Mrs. Perry's Bounty Table. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How many of you remember that? Oh, praise God. I'm telling you. Golden Corral had nothing on that, buddy. It was good food. Good food. And she, of course, she was a sweet lady. A great Christian lady. Just died a couple years ago. And so it was a great place to go. I remember it to this day. I remember it, number one, of course, for the great food. But number two, Jeff, I never forgot their store policy. They had a policy. There's a little sign that was right at the beginning of the buffet. Never forgot that. Lord reminded me of it when I was studying for this message. And this is what the sign said. Take what you want, but eat what you take. That's what it said. I never did forget that. What she was saying was, if you have a big appetite, you can eat the whole thing on the buffet. But if not, take what you want, but you better eat what you take. I don't want nothing wasted. You know, she was from the old school, and my grandpa's still the same way. In fact, Heather's papa that just died this week is the same way. If your plate wasn't clean, they would be mad at you. Because they didn't want nothing wasted. Bones were okay because the dogs got that. But they didn't want nothing wasted. They want you eating till the plate was clean. So Mrs. Perry had that statement, take what you want, but eat what you take. And God reminded me of that saying as I was studying this message. The children of Israel could take what they want, but they had to be sure to eat what they took. Because God, they're teaching us a great principle here that goes well beyond the manna. They're teaching us, and God is teaching us here, that He is not a God of waste. God will not give you what you will not take. If you're hungry for as much as God, you can have as much as God as you want. And according to your appetite, He will supply. However hungry you are, He's willing and able to give you all you can handle. So you can take what you want, but you better eat what you take. In this world in which we live, especially in the finance world, we have a terminology that we like to call supply and demand. Basically, that tells us that if you have a product and if there is demand for it, that means you'll have more supply to keep up with the demand. But in some cases, it doesn't matter how good of a product you may have. If there's no demand for it, I'm sorry, you'll be out of business. We can look around here, even in our local community, and see that over the years, there have been businesses, they're great businesses, that offer great products, but the demand is gone, and so their business is no longer here. You can go down and see video stores. They're going out of business. Why? Because there's no demand anymore for videos. You can get them at home. So that's what people are choosing to do. So they're going out of business because there's no demand. Just a few weeks ago, you seen that Apple Technologies came out with the brand new iPhone, and everyone was, they made millions of them. There was a demand on the very first day for hundreds of millions of these phones. I thought it would be funny if they would have unveiled this great new iPhone, and everybody, no one would ever go to a store. No one would ever buy it. What would you think would happen to Apple? They would invest so much money. In fact, companies will hire people to do research to see if there's a demand for something before they even market it. Because do you understand that these big companies, these big stores, are at the mercy of you? That's amazing for us to think. People that make billions of dollars are at our mercy. Because if we don't like their product, they'll go out of business. I read something interesting this past week that second in sales in this nation is a store called Dollar General. They're second next to Walmart. They're building at an unprecedented rate. They're selling things. Why? Because there's a demand for the convenience store that people won't have to go and walk a mile to get a gallon of milk and dog food. People don't want to go to these big stores anymore because it's just too much time wasted. So Walmart is even doing research to start to build smaller stores to try to keep up with these Dollar Generals and Family Dollars. Because there's a demand. There's a demand. So if it's true in finances, then it's also true with food. I don't care how good you cook broccoli. And I don't even care if there's cheese on it. If you put it in front of my face, sorry, I'm not eating it. I don't like broccoli. There's no demand for it when it comes to me. So give it to someone. Give it to Cal Wright. He loves it. It don't matter how good of a food product you have. If you don't like it, if people don't like it, they ain't going to eat it. You'll go out of business. So if it's the same with finances and food, then it must be the same with our faith. God says, I am willing and able to do anything you want me to do. I can supply any need that you have. And I can give you anything that you want. But what you take, you better eat it. Look at this story. The children of Israel, they came from a place where they were under bondage, of course, Egyptian bondage. And Pharaoh, even though he was their master, even though he was subjecting them to slavery, he was still their provider. They still had food. They still had things to eat. But yet when that was cut off and God said, I'm going to deliver you from Egypt, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to provide for you. So he said, I'll either provide for you or I'll become what I'm providing. So he says, what I'll do is I will supply this manna for you. And you ain't going to know what it is. That's exactly what they said. The word manna means what is it? They didn't know what it is. And that's the same way in our lives. Don't you understand that sometimes when we pray for things, God will answer them in such a way that we won't even recognize when it comes to us. You look throughout the Bible, and there were times when the people of God didn't know that the answer was right there beside them because they were expecting something else. We have it wrapped up in our mind how God's going to answer certain things. And then when He does, we say, well, I didn't expect it that way. I wasn't even thinking of that. See, when Joseph came, he was the answer, but they didn't look at him as the answer. When Jesus came on this earth, he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but they weren't looking for a king in a manger. They were looking for a king to come on a horse and gain a throne. That he was right in front of their eyes. He was the answer. But they missed it because they didn't know who he was. And God supplied their need. They said, what is this? And Moses said, this is the thing that God says he's going to supply your need with. This is it. This is the manna. Whatever you need, it's wrapped up into this. But listen, you can have all you want. He gave them instructions. If you have a family of four, take what you need for a family of four. But don't take more than what you need, but there'll be plenty for you. You can take what you want, but you better eat what you take. He's saying God's not a God of waste. You'll notice in Scripture, He didn't waste the bread. He says He gave every man according to his eating. As I mentioned, if you had a large family, you could take as much as you want. But everybody better eat it. He said, I don't want you to keep nothing left over because it'll stink and it'll breed worms. Don't do that. But you can have as much as you want, but you better eat what you take. And throughout Scripture, we find that God performed miracles after miracles with loaves of bread and with pieces of bread. And you'll find not one fragment was wasted when he blessed the bread and broke it. Remember, when he was feeding the 5,000 men besides women and children. And the Bible says they were all out there. They were hungry listening to the preached word of God. And Jesus said, here's what I'll do. What do we have here? And they said, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they said, what is this among so many? And Jesus said, give it to me and I'll show you what I can do. And the Bible says that he blessed it and he broke it and he began to distribute it among his disciples. And the Bible says that every man that ate, every woman that ate, every child that ate was filled. They could have as much as they want. And yes, they get it up 12 fragments. That was just what was left over of the waste. But God did not waste one morsel of bread. Everyone that wanted to eat, hallelujah, had an opportunity to eat of the precious bread. And you go to the Last Supper. His closest followers are beside him. His closest followers are with him. And he says, take, eat. This is my body. John chapter 6 tells us, he says, if you don't eat of my flesh, if you don't eat of my body, you'll have no part with me. We have to understand. And when he got there, the Bible says that the 12 was sitting around beside him. And the Bible says that he blessed it again. And he broke it again. And he began to distribute it. Think about it. The ones that would deny him. The ones that would betray him. He still gave them an opportunity to eat of the precious bread. Aren't you glad that it didn't matter in your depravity of sin? It didn't matter how evil you were. You might have been a closest follower. You may have had religion, but no religion. Relationship. But thank God he was willing to sit down with you as our pastor preached this morning and have fellowship with you and pass the bread out to you and says, take, eat, not one morsel will be wasted. Remember the woman came to him, her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And the disciples wouldn't let her in the house. And she just forced her way through. She said, I got to get to Jesus. And she came down, the Bible says she fell at his feet and worshiped him. And he says, it's not worthy for me to take the bread and cast it to dogs. But she said, Lord, I know you're not a God of waste, because even the dogs will get the crumbs. Oh, what other people would sweep up and throw away. God, I know that you'll use just a crumb to make sure I get my answer. Aren't you glad the Lord let a crumb fall for you one day when you thought there was no hope? Hallelujah, the precious bread of life. The Lamb of God came to you and said, eat, eat, eat. Take all you want, but eat what you take. Thank God he is not a God of waste. Every precious morsel, hallelujah, was not wasted. He used it for a divine purpose. Bless the name of God. Not the bread was not wasted. And you'll notice, secondly, the blessing was not wasted. This was the blessing. This was the blessing of God that fell down from heaven. And he said, here's what I want you to do when this blessing falls. Don't leave it till the morning. You got to gather it up. Don't take more than what you think you need, thinking you won't get it again. God will bless you tomorrow morning. You can take what you want, but you better eat what you take. Don't hoard it up. I'm not giving you this to save it. I'm giving you this to savor it. Oh, that's good. I'm not giving you this for you to save it. I'm giving you this to savor it. What he was using to bless them with, they were hoarding it up. And they said, we'll save it. No, he said, no, I don't want you to save it. What he was blessing them with wasn't meant to save. It was meant to eat. He says, I want you to eat what I'm giving to you. And the blessing wasn't wasted. He releases that blessing for them not to hold on to it, but to eat it. And he, listen, now he blessed them not according to their need. Okay? He blessed them according to their appetite. However hungry they were, that's how much they got to take. So if they were satisfied with just a little salad, if that's all they took, that's fine. But you better eat what you take. If they wanted a full course meal, if they wanted dessert, they could take that too. But they better eat it. God gave them according to how hungry they were. And I am convinced that I'm looking today at a bunch of people that are hungry for something more than what the world has to offer. They're hungry for the Word of God. They're hungry for the blessings of God. They're hungry for the presence of God. And you can take what you want, but thank God, eat what you take. God blesses us not for us to save it. He wants us to eat it. Because we think that when he blesses us, we better hold on to it because he won't bless us again like this. Oh, come on. Who are you fooling? He blessed them every day that they woke up. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Every day they woke up, there was a new blessing there. And then the Bible say that his mercies are new every morning. Bless God. So don't save what he's blessing you with. Just give it back to him. And guess what? In the morning, he'll bless you again. Hallelujah. Our problem is we ain't hungry enough. How's your appetite tonight? How's your appetite? Some of you are hungry. Some of you are hungry. And see, I determined after studying this and after praying about it and after listening to some folks, I'm determined that the success of our preaching and the success of our church isn't so much on how we deliver a message. It's how hungry you are. Because if you get me around a crowd of hungry people, I could preach for hours. I preached to hundreds of people, Vince. I have, and it was deader than a hammer. You know why? Because they weren't hungry. I was feeding them some good stuff. I was feeding them the Word of God, but they didn't want to eat. Our dear evangelist friend Bob Hoots, who's now in heaven, said these great words of wisdom. He said, I've spent years trying to make people eat that aren't hungry and trying to make people drink that aren't thirsty. And that seems the way it is in this world in which we live. But I'm thankful that you know why Rubyville's growing? You know why Rubyville keeps continuing to see people saying it's because you're hungry for something more than just a song, a three-point flowery sermon, and a good illustration. Oh, you're hungry for the Word of God. You're hungry for the truth of God. I know there are some people here tonight, you just love to hear a good sermon and go home and feel good about yourself. But some of you are coming into the house of God saying, Lord, bless me. Even if it means you got to chastise me, bless me, bless me, bless me, because I'm hungry for you. Our problem is, Jeff Chin, we aren't hungry enough. We aren't hungry enough. Oh, but we're eating. We're eating, but we're eating junk. One of the worst things I remember, and I do this today to my son. My daughter ain't so bad, but my son is. Sunday dinner's coming, And as you know, I eat one or two places on Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoons. My mother-in-law's or my mom's. And either place, I'm getting some good food. But my son wants to get something when he gets home. Get some Little Debbie cake. Nothing wrong with Little Debbie's, Mark Stillner. I don't know if he's here or not. No, he's not here. There's nothing wrong with Little Debbie cakes. But he wants to eat junk food because he's so hungry. And I tell him, I said, son, you've got roast. You've got potatoes. You've got gravy. Glory to God. You've got rolls. Homemade rolls. Oh, hallelujah. Homemade yeast rolls. With real butter, son. Oh, I'll be hungry when I get there, Dad. That's what they all say. And then they get there. And you know, the illustration, the eyes are bigger than her stomach. He gets a whole plate full. And about 2 by 10, he goes, oh, I'm so full. But you didn't hardly eat anything. But yeah, I'm so full. I'm going to make myself sick. He said, I probably shouldn't have ate that Little Debbie before, should I? He was so full of junk food, he couldn't enjoy the good food. And some of you are so full of the world that when you get to this house of God and house of worship, you ain't going to eat because you're so full. You're full. You're full of something, but you're not full of God. We waste our time and our daily efforts on things that don't matter. And then we want God to bless us and He's trying. But you're just not hungry. You're not hungry. So I don't know what we need to do. Because God is not a God of waste. So if you're satisfied with just getting a salad every Sunday, that's all you're going to get if that's all you're hungry for. But if you want a full course meal from the Holy Spirit, if you want appetizers, if you want a full meal, if you want dessert and a milkshake after the follow, hallelujah, it doesn't matter. You can have as much as you want. But you better be hungry for what you take. He's willing to pour out blessing after blessing after blessing. But are we hungry enough to receive it? My challenge to you this week is to empty yourself of the junk of this world. You'd be surprised how much of a power-packed service we'd have on Wednesday night if you would come hungry. It wouldn't matter who's preaching. It wouldn't matter who's singing. Because if you're hungry for God, you're just saying, Lord, feed me. Feed me whatever you're feeding me. I'll eat it because I'm hungry. Hungry. And He won't waste a blessing. He'll pour it out on you. But you got to eat it. He won't waste the bread. He didn't waste the blessing. And thank God He will not and has not wasted the blood. Before they were ever released from bondage, God instituted and set a plan in motion that He said, I want you to take a lamb without spot or without blemish. I want you to bring it into your house and I want it to become your lamb. A lamb, the lamb, your lamb. Said, I want you to take your lamb, your pet lamb that you've cuddled, that you've become friends with. I want you to take that lamb and I want you to sacrifice it. He said, I want you to take the blood. Not one drop, listen, will be wasted. The blood will be applied to the doorpost, to the lintel, to the threshold. Not one drop of that lamb's blood will be wasted. And when God passes through, He'll see the blood and He will pass over you because the blood has a divine purpose. Every drop of it had a purpose. And when God saw it, He said, I see the blood of the Lamb and I'll pass over you. And that blood didn't even start in the Passover process. The blood started all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 3 when God saw Adam and Eve and their nakedness and they were ashamed, the Bible said. But God made coats of skin. That means there had to be a shedding of blood for the coats of skin to be made. That was the covering for their sin. Thank God He always has a purpose for the blood. And that blood, the purpose of the blood is that every drop is not wasted, but that every drop blood is used to cover the sin of the whole world. You can follow that blood, and I'm trying to. We didn't have singing, did we? I'm good. I promise I'll hurry up. Give me 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15. Good. Okay. I'm kidding. That we can follow that blood all the way to Joshua chapter 2, one of my favorite passages of scripture. And I'll hurry up, but these two spies came into Rahab's house. And there they were. And they said, listen, God's coming. He's going to destroy this city. And this was her world. This was Rahab's world. Everything in Jericho was her family. This is how she made her money. This was her world. And they said, the world is going to come crashing down. But as long as you bind this scarlet cord in the window, you will be safe. If you get behind the blood, if you get behind the scarlet cord, you will be safe. And guess what happened? We all know what happened. Our pastor told us years ago that Rahab lived on the wall of Jericho. But the Bible says, doesn't it, that the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. So let me remind you what our pastor said years ago. When the walls came down, Rahab's house was still up. What? Hallelujah. Why? Because the blood had already been applied. Whoa! Hallelujah. That shows us just how powerful the blood is. And the power of the blood comes in that word bind. They said bind that scarlet cord in your window. That word bind in the Hebrew is a legal term. Have you ever went to the bank and you're going to sign a loan on your house? What was Ashley? You just went to the bank and they just got a beautiful home. But they went to the bank. Now, Cameron and Ashley, is Cameron here? No, you're okay. Cameron and Ashley think that they actually own a home. I'm sorry, you don't. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but you don't. You're renting it off the bank. Yeah. Now, they just signed papers. They signed a binding agreement. And that binder says that if Ashley and Cameron cannot meet their part of the agreement, the greater party will take over. And the greater party in this case is the bank that holds their loan. So if Ashley and Cameron, God forbid, would stop making house payments, the bank is coming after their house. And probably much more. So make your house payments, please, dear. So that tells us that Rahab, when she bound that scarlet cord in that window, she came into an agreement. Not with the two spies, but who the two spies represented. And guess what? Rahab couldn't hold up her end of the bargain. Because she said, I have nothing to swear by. But by your words, I'll do exactly as you say. She says, I'm going to trust in your God, the God that you speak of, because I've heard of what your God can do, and I'm going to trust in what God said. So guess what happened? God came through for her because she bound that scarlet cord. She was behind the blood, and thank God God came through for her. And guess what? Whosoever was found behind the scarlet cord was safe from death, safe from destruction. Just not her own family, but it says there in Joshua chapter 2, whosoever, that shows us the people of the blood. It don't matter who you are or what background you come from. Whosoever can get in that wants to get in. That shows us that not one drop of his blood was wasted. Because it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Think about on the cross of Calvary. Even before the cross of Calvary. I like to think in my imagination, and I don't mean to get on a soapbox, but songwriters over the years have kind of used words to express it, and they'll say words like spilled and poured. And I know what they're trying to say, but it almost sounds like it demeans the blood, like it was just arbitrarily roaming. No. Every drop of his blood had a purpose. Ronnie Parker liked to think when that Roman soldier pierced his side and out forth came blood and water, I like to think that your name was written on a drop of that blood. Mark Hart, I like to think that when he ripped his flesh open with the cat of nine tails, that the blood that came out of his back, I like to think that a drop of it had your name written on it. Because he looked down through the eons of time. And when he said it is finished, and when the the blood fell from his head and from the seven spots, the seven wounds on his body. Thank God every drop had someone's name on it. Every drop had every sin of the world written on it. But aren't you glad that not one drop was wasted? Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews, well, hallelujah. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second tabernacle with the high priest alone, not without blood, that he offered up for himself and for the heirs of the people. But Christ, being come a high priest of greater things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither with the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holy place. Listen, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. Not one drop of his blood was wasted. And friend tonight, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, your name is written on one drop of them blood. And he wants to save you. He wants to set you free. And listen, you can have as much as God as you want to have. But you better eat what you take. Not one drop will be wasted. And he's willing to pour out his Spirit upon you and save you from a life of sin. But are you hungry enough to be saved? Are you hungry enough to want him more than anything in this world? I've come to realize that's why people aren't saved. Because they just aren't hungry enough to get rid of their sin. They aren't hungry enough for something different. They're so full of the world, so full of sin, that they don't want to say, Lord, into me and fill me with your precious Spirit. But I guarantee tonight, as the Bible says, just taste. You may be so full, you may say, I can't take another bite. You don't have to take a bite, just taste. Whoop! Just taste and see that the Lord is good. I wish, you know, we say sometimes we like to bottle it up and give it to people. Because if they just try it, they'd like it. My dad always told me that growing up. Just try these baked beans. You'll love them. I don't like it. He forced me to eat them one time. And I didn't like them. I said, Dad, I'm sure they're good. And I'm sure Mom makes them great. But Dad, I don't like them. I'm sorry. I tried them. And I still don't like them. But you know what Dad also told me about? Listened to his preaching for years and years. He recommended someone that could satisfy a longing soul. And he says, Brian, I guarantee if you try him, you'll like him. And guess what? I did. And I like him. In fact, I love him so much that all I want to do all day long is to eat, 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 and eat. And guess what? The more I eat, the more he says, come on, here it is. Eat some more. Because I find I can have as much as I want. But I better eat what I take.